Brother Danny and Sheila, what a blessing that was, and thank you, choir. Luke chapter 1 this morning, and let me mention, while you're finding your place in Scripture, if you would be sure and pray for Brother Steve and Nancy and Brother Larry as they are in Honduras on a mission trip. Pray that the Lord would bless that trip and that the Lord would reward them souls for their hire as they have opportunity to share the gospel to a very needy people there in Honduras. And I want to say thank you for those of you who have prayed for my throat this week, and vast improvement since Wednesday night. And I appreciate your prayers so much. And speaking of my voice, I had a man stop me over at WGCR, had several people stop me and say how much they enjoy our radio broadcast. And one fella said, you know, you sound like a young man on the radio. And I didn't know how to take that. but I guess there's only one way to take it. I don't look like I sound. All right, at least part of me is young anyway, amen. All right, Luke chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 41. Oh, before I read, let me just mention one other blessing we got this week. I shared with a few yesterday over at the radio station. For those of you that have been on the website recently, you've seen that that Brandon has been able to put some of our choir songs on the website, so people can click on it and listen to a few of the songs that the choir sings. And Friday, we received a call from Los Angeles from someone who had been on the internet and had gone to our website and listened to the choir and is sending money for a CD. And so we've made it all the way across the country. And they're enjoying our music out on the left coast. I mean, that's I was surprised people out in California would want to listen to good music. But I'm kidding. I've preached in some wonderful churches out there, and but we're just thrilled that the Lord is using the ministry and spreading the music and the preaching of His word by way of the internet and the website. And we appreciate your prayers for that. Luke chapter 1, all right, and verse number 41. And would you stand with me as we read God's Word? And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Of course, that babe was John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed be the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Verse 46, and Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Let's pray together. Our Father, this morning we thank you in Jesus' name for the opportunity that we have to be in your house. Father, what a joy it is to gather with your people. What a blessing it is, Father, to fellowship with those who love you. And Father, I pray that you might bless our service today, bless your service. Father, thank you for visitors who have honored us with their presence today. Father, thank you for your people who have been faithful to your house this morning in spite of inclement weather. Father, we thank you that Lord, we need this rain that we're getting today, and we praise you for that. And Father, I pray that you would meet the needs that are represented in this congregation. Father, those who are present, Father, those who are not present, you know every need. And Father, I pray that you would grant healing in bodies. Father, I pray for physical healing, for spiritual healing, for emotional healing. Father, all these things we're thankful can be met by your wonderful grace. Father, grace that you send us to the measure to meet the needs that we face in life. And Father, it is our utmost desire today that if there's anyone here that does not know what it means to be saved by grace, Father, I pray that before they would leave today, that they would trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Understand that it's not about going to church. It's not about being from a good family. Father, it's not about being a Baptist or any other denomination. It's all about knowing Jesus Christ and putting faith and trust in Him for the forgiveness of sins, that we can know that we're on our way to heaven. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today that's never done that, I pray that they would see their need to accept Christ and how we would praise you for that. Father, bless the preaching of your word now. Bless every word. May it be the words you once said. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. This is a great passage that we've read this morning. Oftentimes, a passage that is read around Christmas time. But what a wonderful passage this is on giving praise to God. When you look at the words of Mary in verse number 46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." What she was doing is giving her Lord praise. What she was doing was honoring her God by saying, "My soul speaks out in praise for all that He's blessed me with." And you know, every one of us this morning, in spite of what trials or afflictions and troubles that you may be going through right now in your life personally, none of them can come close, none of the trials, none of the problems can come close to voiding out the blessings that God sends us day by day and the fact that He is a God who daily loads us with benefits. This is a passage on praise that we've read this morning. If I were to ask you, and I will right now, give me another passage that would come to your mind, verses that would come to your mind this morning, that would stand out in your mind and heart, that would be a passage that seems like it was just dedicated wholly to giving praise to God. I'm not going to ask for your response in that, but I would imagine that at least a few of you in here this morning had Psalm 100 come to your mind. The psalm that is known as the Psalm of Praise. And what I'd like for you to do is turn to that psalm with me this morning, and that's where I'd like to spend the remainder of our time in the message this morning. This great psalm, Psalm 100. You've heard it many times before. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. What a powerful psalm that is. This is the only psalm of the 150 psalms that is in its entirety a psalm of praise. And as we look at this psalm, there's not one note of sadness. Not one note of sadness in any of the five verses that we just read out of this powerful psalm. It is an appeal for everyone, I believe, to gratefully worship and praise the Lord. As we look at the psalm, and just by way of introduction, I see five things or five reasons just for gratitude and thanksgiving alone as we would read this psalm. In verse 1, I believe we see exhortation. It says, make a joyful noise. And as we see the words there, it doesn't say, please make. It doesn't say, will you make? The psalmist says, make. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's an exhortation. It's a command for us to praise God. Not only is it an exhortation, but look at verse number 2. It's an exaltation. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. I'm glad in verse 3 we see it's also an explanation. I'm glad the psalmist says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. We have the joy of knowing that when we open the Word of God, God has given us His truth, things that we don't have to hope for, things that we don't have to hope that they're going to come through, especially in light of our salvation when we think of being saved. I'm glad that because we can know that we serve the Lord, we know who our hope is in this morning. That it's not in a church, it's not in a preacher, it's not in a family, it's knowing the Lord God of heaven. Not only do we see exhortation and exaltation and explanation, but we see expression. Verse number 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. God wants us to express our thanks to Him. He wants us to verbally praise Him and thank Him, to get down upon our knees daily and praise His holy name for all that He's blessed us with. And then in verse 5, I could not get away from the word extension. When you think of the word extension, oftentimes this time of the year, we may think of an extension on our income tax filing. But when I think of the word extension, when I look at verse number 5, I think of the wonderful words that the psalmist gave us when he said, Thy mercy, O Lord, is everlasting. Thy truth is everlasting. Actually, the words, Thy mercy is everlasting. Thy truth endureth to all generations. The IRS is going to get you on their extension. It's going to end. But I am thankful that the mercy of God and the truth of God endureth to all generations. It's everlasting. We have the joy of knowing that when we praise our God, we are praising Him for something that is not going to run out. The extension is going to go on and on and on with His truth and with His mercy. The five verses, I believe, as we look at this great psalm, also show us that we need to have gratitude for His grace that He has shown towards us. Just quickly, verse 1, grace to praise God. Verse 2, grace to serve God. Verse 3, grace to know God. Verse 4, grace to thank God. Verse 5, grace to see God. And I'm thankful that as we look at this psalm, it is a reminder of the fact that as we read the truth of God's Word, and especially as we look at that verse number 5 that I expounded on just a few moments ago about His mercy and about His truth, we have the joy of knowing this morning that this truth will lead us to a point to where one day we will see God. We'll have the joy of seeing our faith revealed as we stand in the presence of the One who gave His precious Son that we might have everlasting life. Here's our thought this morning as we get into the message. We must be a people who are thankful. We must be a people who are thankful to God. Would you notice with me, first of all, as we look again at verse number 1, we need to thank Him for His praise. And by saying that, I'm saying that we need to count it an honor just to be able to praise Him. The psalmist said it so well when he said, we can look at this when he said, make a joyful noise. And as we think of thanking Him for His praise, we see first of all the noise of praise. And it's a joyful noise. The words here speak of a glad shout as when a king appears among his subjects. And folks, when we come into God's house, we ought to be thankful that not just when we come to church, but when we get down upon our knees, we have the joy of knowing that the King is present and that He is ready to fellowship with us. He's ready to bow with us and meet the needs that we have in our life. Oh, listen, something should thrill our hearts this morning. We should rejoice when the King is in the camp. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. Oh, listen, the Philistines that day heard a joyful noise. A noise of a people giving praise unto their God. You know, I'm glad that we were able to hear joyful voices in our choir this morning. But I'm also thankful that those of us who are not as gifted as being able to sing, that we can make a joyful noise and God is just as happy with it. The psalmist said we need to think about praising God and we need to think of the noise of praise. Not only do we need to think of the noise of praise, we need to think of the number of praise. Look at what it says in verse 1 where it says, "All ye lands." How many of us should be a people praising God? Should it be just a select few? Should it be just those of us who are blessed to live here in the United States of America? No, the psalmist made it very clear that the people who ought to be praising God, the number of people who ought to be honoring Him, it says, "All ye lands." Psalm 150 in verse number 6, the psalmist said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." You know, we have so much to be thankful for this morning. Think about it. We need to praise Him for His pardon. Praise Him for the salvation that we have through His precious Son. And like I said, if you've never had a time in your life where you've done that, it is my prayer and the prayer of many in this congregation this morning that you'll find Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But we need to be praising Him for His pardon that He gives us through the salvation of His precious Son. Not only do we need to praise Him for His pardon, we need to be praising Him this morning for His provision. The fact that God not only saves us through His Son, but He is ready to provide for us after we're saved. That we're not only saved, we can be sanctified. We can grow in Christ. And God is ready through the promises of His Word to give us the provisions that we need to grow in Him. We need to thank Him this morning for His praise. But would you notice with me, secondly, as we go to verse 2, we need to thank Him for His privilege. When I think of the word privilege, I could not help but think of what the psalmist said when he said in verse number 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness." I think we need to praise God this morning for the privilege that we have of service, for the joy that we have in being able to serve our God. I'm thankful that God was willing to use somebody like me. When I was battling God's call on my life for ministry, when I was just a junior in high school, I was coming up with all kinds of excuses as to why God could not use me, but God was coming up with answers for every excuse that I was giving Him. What a joy it is to know that it is a privilege to serve God, and we ought to want to serve Him not with gripingness or unhappiness, but the psalmist says Let's serve our God with gladness. Do we deserve this privilege? Do we deserve the privilege that God gives us to serve Him this morning? The psalmist said in Psalm 40 and verse number 2, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. What a privilege it is, and we're thinking about the privilege of service right now. What a privilege it is for unworthy sinners like us to be able to serve God today. We ought to rejoice in that and praise Him for it. Not only should we thank Him for the privilege of service, but we need to thank Him for the privilege of singing. In verse 2, He says, come before His presence with singing. Can we go back to Psalm 40 for just a moment? When we read just a moment ago in verse 2, where it says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. But the psalmist goes on in verse number 3 to say, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. You know, when God changes us, He gives us a song. When God saves us, He gives us the praise that we need to be showing to a lost and dying world that Jesus has made a difference in our life, that He has saved us and brought us up out of that horrible pit, that He has set us up. We're saved not just for a week, not just for a month, not just until we sin next, but we are saved, we are set up, we are saved forever. And that's a lot to praise God for today as we think of praising Him with our singing. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 19 through 20 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making medley in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say, when we talk about praising Him with our singing, you don't have to sing on key. Just sing to the King. Praise Him for His goodness and His mercy that He has shown toward you. Oh, we need to thank Him for His praise. We need to thank Him for His privilege. And then looking now at verse number 3, we need to thank Him for His pasture. Look at the verse where it says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. When I read those wonderful words, I'm thankful this morning that I am resting in His sovereignty. That I'm resting in the sovereignty of God. The most powerful words in the 23rd Psalm that we read so often are the words, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm resting in that shepherd's sovereignty today. Psalm 46 and verse number 10 says, be still, the psalmist says, and know that I am God. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord which He will show you today. And we all know what happened in that chapter. That passage came when Moses and the children of Israel were being pursued by the Egyptians, by a mighty host. And things looked very negative. Things looked impossible. Things were disturbing, and the people were afraid. They were ready to stone Moses. And Moses said, listen, we've got to remember who we serve today. First of all, he looked at those people and he said, fear not, stand still, hold on, wait just a minute. If you'll just stop thinking about yourself and your needs and all the doubts that Satan is putting into your heart, you will forget about what is behind us and we will be looking forward to the promises that God has given us. And even though they had the Egyptians behind them and the Red Sea in front of them, they had, as they stood still that day, they had the promise that God had given them that they would see the salvation of the Lord.
that there would come by the end of the day, you would see your enemy that you're fearing dead on the seashore. And it's just a reminder to us this morning of the sovereignty of God and that our God is in control. When Satan throws a fear into your heart today, remind him that you serve the living God. We need to rest in His sovereignty. You know, we also need to rest as His sheep. In verse number 3, the psalmist says, "We are His people." I like that. I especially like that little word, "are." Now you think about your salvation. If you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior, the psalmist is saying that there's something we need to praise God for right now, and that is that we are His people. When you look at the doctrine of salvation throughout the Bible, you will always find that salvation is in the present tense. Now you think about that, about what that ought to do to your heart this morning about your salvation and praising God. You are either in a position to where you need Christ or you have Christ. Never had Christ. Salvation is always in the present tense. He says we are His sheep. And when we trust Jesus as personal Savior, we have the joy of knowing that it is a finished work, that we'll never lose our salvation, that there's no power upon this planet nor in the heavens that can take away the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. You're either this morning, as you listen to my voice, you're either in a position to where you need Christ or you have Christ. You're not in a position that you had Him. He's always your Savior once you trust Him as personal Savior. Oh, listen, we need to rest as His sheep and understand and remember that we are His people. But would you notice with me also as we look, continue to look at verse number 3, we need to rest in His sheepfold. Notice the words, the sheep of His pasture. Can I remind you this morning of the fact that the shepherd takes care of his sheep? The psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And if you were to go to John chapter 10, and we don't have time to go there for sake of time this morning in the message, but if you would look at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 15, you find these words. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He also said, "I know my sheep." And then He said, listen to this, "I am the door of the sheep." Oh, what a joy it is to know that as we rest in His sheepfold, as we rest as His sheep, we're resting in the promises of God's Word and knowing that the Lord, who is our shepherd, will take care of us. When I was teaching Bible geography at the college in Jacksonville, one of the things that actually just really thrilled my heart when I did a study on shepherds and on sheep and on sheepfolds, that when a shepherd would be out into the pasture, or he'd be up in the hills and he would make the sheepfold, he would make the place for the sheep to come in at night and to be there safely. He never made a door. It was just an opening where the sheep would go into the sheepfold and there they would lie down. And it was then that the shepherd would place himself in that opening that he had left to that sheepfold. And that the shepherd, not the hireling, but the shepherd was the one who was there to be the door of the sheep, and that nothing could get into them to harm them in any way. And what a joy it is to know that when we think about the fact that we are resting in His sheepfold, that it is the Lord Jesus Himself who has said and given us the promise in His Word that "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, every one of them by name." And He says, by the way, "I'm the door. I'm the protection for my sheep." That there's not a day that goes by but what we have the joy of knowing that we're under the protection of the Good Shepherd, the door to the sheep. Oh, listen, this morning we need to thank Him for His praise. Need to thank Him for His privilege. Thank Him for His pasture. But would you notice with me as we look at verse number 4, let's praise Him and thank Him for His position. We see in this verse where it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. When I read this psalm once again, a word in that verse just leaped out at me and thrilled my heart. It's the word enter. And it reminded me of the fact that I need to be thanking my Lord today for His position. And that He is in a position of access. He says, enter. Enter. The doors of earthly kings are carefully and heavily guarded. You try to get in the White House today and you're going to find that you're not going to get through the door, and I won't get through the door. But I'm rejoicing in the fact that the gates to the throne of God are wide open. And that when the psalmist said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, what a joy it is to know that we have access today, that we serve a God who is in a position of access. That anytime, day or night, 24/7, we have the joy of knowing that we have access to the Father. I've often referred to it as that heavenly telephone of prayer. Some of you have heard the illustration that I've given during when Patty and I were dating. And we did a lot of our dating over the phone. I was a student down in Greenville attending Bible college, and Patty was living here in Hendersonville. And we did 98% of our dating on the phone because of just the way it worked out. And back in those days, the university didn't have phones in every room like they have nowadays. There was 2 payphones in the lobby by the stairwell to handle an entire wing of guys. And I don't have to tell you, the lines were long at those phones. And we would wait and wait and wait for our time to get on the phone. And I can remember several occasions where I called that number here in Hendersonville and got the busy signal. And there I was in that phone booth getting the busy signal. I'd hang up, I'd dial it again, busy signal, hang up, dial it again, busy signal. Well, it didn't take too many of the hang-ups, dial again, busy signal, to where the next guy in line waiting outside that phone booth, which was glass and closed, his nose was pressed against that glass, wanting his turn. And I can remember the times that I was discouraged because I could not talk to the one that I was in love with. The line was busy. Well, I'm thankful that as we think of our God being in a position of access, that when we pick up our heavenly telephone, we never get a busy signal. Heaven's always open. God's ready to hear our prayer, and He's ready to answer our prayer today. Not only that, listen to John 6 and verse 37. Him that cometh unto me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, what a joy it is this morning to know that when a sinner comes to Jesus, that He's always ready to forgive. And that line of forgiveness is always open. I'm thrilled that any old sinner can get to God. Not only is He in a position of access, but would you notice with me, He's also in a position to be our advocate. It says, enter into His courts with praise. 1 John 2 and verse 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, what is an advocate? An advocate, as you know, is someone who pleads the cause for another person. And when I read that verse, "enter into his courts." How often in earthly courts do we have people who are in need of an advocate, people who are in need for someone to speak on their behalf? And then I was reminded of the fact that when the psalmist said, "enter into his courts with praise," that we can enter into God's court and know that even though we're worthless sinners and deserving to spend eternity in hell, we have someone who is ready to plead our cause. That when God looks at us, He sees sin. But when we trust Christ as our personal Savior, He doesn't see our sin. He sees the precious blood of His Son that was shed on Calvary's cross. And Jesus becomes our advocate. He becomes the one that pleads on our behalf. Oh, thank God for the position of advocacy that our Lord Jesus has for us. I'm thankful that we can also look to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. When the writer said, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When the writer said, "come boldly," it's not anything that's great about us. It's nothing that's great about us that permits us to come boldly before the throne of grace. It's the grace of God and the Lord Jesus, our advocate, that has made it so that you and I, as unworthy sinners, can boldly approach the throne of God and find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Last thing, verse number 5 this morning. We saw in verse 1, we need to thank Him for His praise. Verse 2, thank Him for His privilege. Verse 3, thank Him for His pasture. Verse 4, thank Him for His position. And then last of all this morning, verse number 5, thanking for His promise. When I think of the promises of God, I think of how often man has failed me. I think of how people have told me, "Larry, I promise you, I'll do this. Larry, I promise you, I won't let you down." Well, I think every one of us, under the sound of my voice this morning, have had times where people who have said, "I promise you," have let us down. But would you look at this wonderful verse? The Lord is good. And when I read that, I couldn't help but think of the little cliche that you and I have heard from time to time, and that is, a man is as good as his word. Well, I'm telling you, when we see that the psalmist said the Lord is good, He's as good as His word. And this will not let you down. This will not let me down. Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19, "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good?" Psalm 119, verse 66, the psalmist says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed Thy commandments." And verse 68, listen to these wonderful words, "Thou art good and doest good, teach me Thy statutes." You know what the psalmist was saying? He was saying that the only thing that his God knows how to do is good. We are prone to do things that are not so good. We are prone to do things that disappoint us. But God is always good. He's always good. His promises are good. But would you notice with me, as we look at the words in this great verse, His mercy is everlasting, I think of the fact that His promises are gracious. His promises are gracious, and we certainly do not deserve this kind of mercy that we're reading about in this verse. Listen to what Augustine said. We count on God's mercy for our past mistakes, on God's love for our present needs, on God's sovereignty for our future. That covers it all. God's goodness, God's graciousness, His mercy, and I remind you again, is everlasting. Not only are His promises good and His promises gracious, but His promises are great. And I think of that because I read the words here in this verse, His truth endureth to all generations. His promises are great because His promises are alive. Forever and ever, we have the promises of God. They're unending. And we can look at a psalm like we've looked at this morning and be thankful for the fact that when the psalmist said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, we can look at the rest of that psalm like we have this morning and say, glory to God! His promises are true and He does deserve our praise. I can't help but think of what Harold Clayton would say at times when he would be preaching, and he still does. Hold my mule while I shout. And we have seen enough out of this wonderful psalm this morning to where every one of us would need someone to hold our mule this morning while we shout to God for His glory, for His mercy, for His wonderful, everlasting, enduring love that He has shown us. God, help us to give our God the glory and the praise due to His name. Let's bow our heads together.